already 2 hours in? Jeez. All right, Michael Hutchins. The late, great Michael Hutchins. 339-1140. Our text line is down today, so we have created a text line. I'm going to pass it off to Damian and Jason, see if they use it. They're more than welcome to. And I'll give them the login and all that stuff, so we can all... I don't think Grant's going to use it. I don't think Grant knows how. Here's me. Screw it.
669-1140.
Phone calls. It's like the old days. I don't know why I'm talking like Grant like this. Ah, see?
Nah.
He's not that old. 669 is your area code. Nice. 669-225-2062. By the way, the Kings bench against the Bucks the other night, 69 points.
Nice.
Nice. Go ahead.
I was talking to Dave during the break, listeners.
Me.
And
Dave?
I said, yeah, you
okay,
did.
Okay, I got you.
And I recorded our conversation.
Oh, did you?
Unbeknownst to you. I sure
did. Know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, Dave,
yeah.
Why did you not just forego the text line today? Why did you go through all that trouble to come up with a new phone number you're only going to use for like a day? Once we get our text line back, you could have gone without the text line. And he said, why did I do that?
Hey! Hey! You went a long way for that, Kyle.
I did.
That's well done.
It was a long way for a Henry Winkler joke, but I'm glad I did it.
Did you see the old Pontiac Silverdome get blown up but not fall down?
Dude, I laughed so hard.
So here's my real question about that, for real. My for real, not joking at all question about this, for real, not joking. They set up the little bombs, or whatever you call them, the explosives.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not bombs. Explosives around the old Pontiac Silverdome, home of past Super Bowls and the Detroit Lions, many other things. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe, isn't that where the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake thing happened? During that? Maybe not. I don't know. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. So they set up these explosives to demolish it, because, you know, they have Ford Field now and Little Caesars Arena. They don't need it. And the explosives all went off. And you've seen these things before. Anytime an old stadium gets, you know, the Astrodome was tremendous. You know, they set off the explosives and the whole thing comes tumbling down. We saw it the other week in Atlanta when they demolished that stadium. The poor bastard cameraman had been set up for hours. And then the Atlanta bus pulls right in front of it. So this was all set to happen in Detroit. So you're ready. 3, 2. One, the explosives go off. It's a huge thing. Everyone's waiting. Here we go. The whole thing's gonna drop. And it didn't. It didn't really move. There was like some dust and maybe like shrapnel, but it didn't move. So here's my
They could legit just go play a football game in there right now.
I don't think they could. I feel like if that place was not safe before, it's super unsafe now. Like, for all we know, as we speak, it could be tumbling down. Because
I didn't mean you could. They would literally go play a football game.
Well, I think you did. Anyway,
no, because the roof's gone. They've torn out all this.
You can't do it. But it's got to be unsafe. So here's my question, Kyle. I was thinking about this for way too long this weekend. You can't really ask people to go in and rewire it, can you? Because, again, it's supposed to be collapsed. So you're going to ask Bob Johnson from Johnson Welding to go in, or Johnson Demolition?
Bob Johnson from
Johnson. You're going to ask Bob to go in and wire what's left of the Silverdome. Bob's got kids, and it's almost Christmas time. So are you really going to say, hey, Johnson, get on over there and wire this sucker.
He's going to go, I'm just a welder.
I'm just a welder. I think you wanted to talk to Bill Johnson from Johnson's Demolition. We're the welders. So are you can't ask people to go rewire this thing, right? It's too dangerous. So honest to God, here's what I'm wondering. Could you contract like the Air Force to do a flyover and drop
like a tiny
little bomb?
No.
Tell me,
absolutely not.
Too dangerous?
Yeah, because that's in downtown Detroit. If they whiff,
well, it's Air Force.
And
miss.
additionally,
yeah.
Do you know how many people are going to freak out when they see planes fly overhead and drop a bomb now, into the middle of Detroit?
I didn't say planes. One plane. One plane.
Even worse.
Well, you announce it first. You don't just do it
as a surprise. Dude, it doesn't matter. There are still going to be people who would freak, would flip. They said War of the Worlds was a play as well, and people still freaked out about it.
I'm not saying you drop, you know, a nuke on the.
I fully understand.
I'm saying like an eensy bomb, like a diet bomb, like a bomb junior. Just something tiny.
Just go carpet bomb the Silverdome.
I mean, if we can't trust the Air Force to not miss. I mean, come on. Johnson's demolition, United States Air Force, and the fine men and women that work for them. They've got mathematicians and stuff.
Sort of the demolition people.
Well, obviously it didn't work.
You can't fly a plane overhead and drop a bomb.
Okay, so then what's the answer? You can't send people in there.
I think you do.
You think you send people. They have to climb up on things. Think about this. It could fall at any moment.
I think, no, there are inspections. There are inspections that can happen that where you go in. I don't know if they have robots that go in or what have you.
Yeah, it has where to you be a
can
robot.
Go in, where you go in and you can look and survey what type of damage there is.
You got to send Johnny Five or Wally or whatever robot you have. Because you can't send Bob.
Or Bill.
Or Bill. They've got kids. I've really, Kyle,
find
again.
A single guy at Bill's Demolition with no kids. Like, hey, you're expendable.
A single old, like an 81-year-old. Like an 81-year-old man.
Find somebody who's trying to get out of jury duty and say, all right, fine.
I need to talk to an expert, which is not you or me. Because
I'm Googling Bill's Demolition.
Because what about this? Do you think they have like a C4 launcher where they can be in a safe space and just keep firing C4 that like you fire it and it sticks? It sticks to the Silverdome and then you remote detonate it and you just keep launching it. Like think about like in the old school, like Game of Thrones days, like a catapult. Of C4, that but it has,
Game of Thrones doesn't take place in this universe, so I don't know.
Okay, great point from the text line at 669-225-2062. Drones dropping explosives—that's how you do it, right?
It would be some kind of drone.
Yes,
but it could not be like a military-style drone.
Why?
Because that would terrify people.
Okay, what if you did a military drone, but you just didn't do it in camo? Like, you colored it in lion's color, silver and blue.
Had it fly a lion's flag.
Yes, something friendly.
Bill's Demolition in Athens, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Athens, Ohio. Sorry, Athens, Ohio has no reviews on Yelp. It worries me.
Will you do me a favor? I got to talk about other things. Can you look up a demolition company on the East Coast and get them on the phone? See if they'll come on. Let's see. Let's talk to a demolition. Just call a random demolition company. And they have to give us permission to come on the air. But while I'm talking about these college football playoffs, it's fine because it's 8 o'clock right now. I don't know much about demolition company hours, but I don't think they're up at 8 a.m. So maybe we'll get lucky with like one that's up at 11 a.m.
No, I'm reading an article first to see. I'm sure people have been interviewed already. I'm going to see if we can do this ourselves here.
Yeah. Hang on. I was waiting for you to read.
No. I'm not going to read it out loud.
Oh, okay.
If it has the info for you, I'll let you know.
From the 916, Dave, the answer is simple: rocket launchers. That's
great point.
From JR. Again, I've spent way too much time on this, but if any of you guys have any ideas, help me out. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. What the hell do they do with the Silverdome now? You can't send people in there. I brought up the Air Force. Kyle says, no, you can't drop bombs on Detroit. So whatever, the millennials, You need a safe space there, Snowflake, for your bombs on, you know, I mean, and stop with the Detroit bomb jokes, by the way. I'd be saying this if it was in any other great American city, by the way. Detroit, now home of former Kings president Chris Granger. So we have a special place in our heart for Detroit. I wonder if Granger would know, actually. I wonder if Chris would know what happens. We can get Chris Granger on to talk about that. Who, by the way, one great thing about Detroit that happened over the weekend, they had a phenomenal UFC. They had a phenomenal UFC Saturday night, that brand new Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Great card, great fights. Go ahead, Kyle.
So it's now up to the demolition company to decide whether to bring down the columns, because the main columns that were supposed to come down did not.
Yes.
So it's up to the demolition company to decide whether to bring down the columns by detonating unexploded charges or use excavators.
Excavators? Like what? Were they bring in a bunch of tractors? I don't know, man. I just don't know. You gotta do something. We got enough construction people here. I mean, what would happen? Aren't we at some point supposedly going to get a demolition of Sleep Train Arena? At some point, right? I mean, they're not gonna. I mean, honestly, I should probably know the answer to this question, but I would think eventually they demo it to build their office spaces or whatever the heck it is, whatever they're doing with it. No, you guys. No, Godzilla is not, no. You're having bad ideas.
Call the Avengers. They're good at blowing up buildings.
Thank you. Bring in Ben McAdoo. He's good at blowing things up. Walker, Texas Ranger, you're on the drive. Go ahead. Hey.
Walker.
Yo.
Yo.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys.
Okay, you hear us now? Go ahead.
I don't know if you saw that UFC event, but maybe we could get Francis Ngannou to launch one of them punches he depleted Alistair Overeem with.
That's a phenomenal point. Walker, I've never seen – first off, Francis Ngannou is the future heavyweight champion. Stipe Miocic just doesn't know it yet. Secondly, he has the hardest recorded punch in human history, and it wasn't even the punch Saturday. That's number two. And number three, Walker, and I tweeted this out Saturday night with no humor. I was not trying to be funny or entertaining. In fact, this is the opposite of funny and entertaining. This guy may very well kill somebody in the ring, in the octagon. He is scary as all hell.
The other part of that, man, is if you want to go through with your Air Force thing, as long as they do it overnight, if somebody wakes up in the morning, I don't think they're going to notice a difference looking at downtown Detroit.
There you go. I knew we're not trying to bag Detroit here, guys. We're trying to help Detroit. Find the answer to this to me. It's been bothering me. I've now spent more time thinking about the destruction of the Pontiac Silverdome than obviously the people that were in charge of the destruction of the Pontiac Silverdome. I think we've come down to Bill's not going to do it. Bob's not going to do it. The welders aren't going to do it. Basically, most people are saying it's going to be drones. Be curious to find out. College football playoffs are in. You've got your final four. Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia. Now, we had a little bit of this conversation earlier. Kyle and I did. I think they got it right. I do. And I understand Ohio State being upset. I also understand that. And I understand even USC having a little bit of a you can make, if you're a lawyer, you can make arguments for both. But I think when Alabama sneaks in and Las Vegas has them the favorite to win the national championship game, I think there's something there. That's one thing. Travis, you're on the drive. Hello, Travis.
Hello.
No,
this is Bob from Bob's Demolition.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. I got my Travis is on line three. Bob from Bob's Demolition. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, sir. I'm a little scared. I got a couple kids at home, and I don't want to go in.
Thank you very much, Bob. Should they do a cruise missile? Should they do drones? They can't ask you to go in there, Bob.
Well, actually, we're drawing straws today.
Whoever forgot the bagels has to go in and do the site check at the Pontiac Silverdome. Well, you got to take care of it at some point. because they're building something there. Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Alabama. Clemson will take on Alabama, Oklahoma versus Georgia. Alabama has one loss. The question is their schedule and their quality wins. But again, I would submit to you, look at their strength. I don't want their strength of schedule necessarily looked at postseason. Yeah, I do. I mean, that's important. I changed my mind. But I think you also have to look at their strength of schedule preseason. Or more to the point, what were the teams ranked when they played them? And Florida State was ranked number 3. And if you take that away, it kills their strength of schedule. Yes, they beat Mississippi State, who was number 16. Yes, they beat number 19 LSU. And their one loss was to Auburn, who was number 6. I mean, Auburn, you want to talk about arguments. You want to talk about quality wins. Auburn beat 2 number 1 teams. Auburn beat Georgia and Auburn beat Alabama. There is no team in the country that can top those 2 quality wins. It doesn't exist. So, of course, every 7 campuses have an argument. But the Big Ten's not good, man. The Big Ten is not. They're just not good. We talked about it earlier. I went through every single Big Ten team. And yes, they can beat up on each other, and their teams are artificially ranked high because it's all they do is play each other. And then you say, oh, well, I don't know, Dave. Ohio State has all these quality wins, dude. They beat Michigan. That was a big deal. They beat Penn State. They were number 2. They beat Michigan State. They were number 12. They beat Wisconsin. They were number 4. They're all Big Ten teams. They're all Big Ten teams that are artificially inflated. They played 1 ranked out-of-conference game against Oklahoma. They lost 31-16 at home. They got beat at home 31-16. Had that been their only loss, Ohio State's in. They're in. They're in. There's no doubt about it, they're in. But they got rolled at Iowa. 55-24. And Iowa's 6-3. 55-24. And Iowa lost at Northwestern. Iowa lost at home to Purdue. I mean, come on. Now people want to send Vontaze Burfict in to take out the Pontiac Silverdome. That's a fine idea. I looked earlier. When you look at the Big Ten, the entire Big Ten has 1 win. 1 win out of conference against a ranked team. And that was, who the hell was it? I think it was Maryland, which is still technically kind of an ACC team. But Maryland beat number 23, Texas, 51-41. That's it. The grand total of Big Ten out-of-conference wins against ranked opponents at the time is 1. And it was against Texas, number 23, Texas, who, by the way, is 6-6 this year. But they were ranked 23rd. You have to give that to them if you're going to use that same argument for Alabama. Mike, you're on the drive.
Dave, morning. You're wrong.
Why?
No conference is more artificially inflated in their rankings than the SEC. Who did they beat out of conference this year?
Who the SEC beat out of conference. All right. I'm just going to start. We got a break here, but I'm just going to start at the top. I'm literally going to do this while I'm on the phone with you. Okay, so let's go to schedule. Alabama beat number 3 Florida State, who is number 3 at the time. Huh?
Doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
Because the quarterback got hurt in the 3rd quarter of that game.
So it doesn't count?
Well, it doesn't count. It doesn't count as a quality win. Out of conference quality win. That's like a top 25 win at best.
Mike, all I said was the Big Ten combined has 1 win against a ranked team out of conference.
Alabama's best win is against an LSU team that lost at home to Troy.
Somehow
they get ranked in the top 15 because it's this circle of SEC teams beating each other, and they're ranked high, and they just keep staying ranked high.
Because the SEC is a great conference.
Based on what?
LSU lost at home to Troy.
To Troy.
And again, by the way, again, the SEC has more wins at a conference against ranked teams than the Big Ten, which was all – that was all, my whole point.
Auburn lost at home. Auburn lost to Clemson.
Auburn lost to Clemson. So Clemson's a phenomenal team. They also beat two number one teams.
That's like Ohio State losing to Oklahoma. You can't hold Ohio State losing to Oklahoma if you're going to hold Auburn losing to Clemson.
Mike, what I said was, I just said, if that was their loss, Ohio State is in. Then they got destroyed by Iowa.
Okay, but I agree with that, but I'm just saying you can't give Alabama credit for beating LSU if LSU lost to Troy, if you're going to turn around and say Ohio State lost to Iowa.
Let me ask you this, because we do have to break. I honestly wish we could have this conversation more. Who do you think should be in ahead of Alabama?
Ohio State.
You think Ohio State, who lost to Oklahoma at home and then got rolled by Iowa, you think Ohio State should be in?
I do. I only think there's three teams that are deserving. I think whoever you're going to put in the fourth spot was going to be a huge question mark anyway. But I just think that the point of having Alabama in there because they have this great strength of schedule when really their only two marquee wins are LSU and Mississippi State, who really beat no one themselves, is
the Florida
circular logic.
And, Mike, you're 100% correct, but Florida State's not Alabama's fault. That's not their fault. Nobody thought Florida State was going to be 6-6 this year. There's nothing they can do about that. It's not like they didn't try to schedule them. Damn it, we got to go. We'll take a break. It's a hell of a conversation. I just don't see the prevailing argument for Ohio State with two losses over Alabama with one loss. And I can't blame Alabama for Florida State, but I see the argument. Mike makes some good points. We'll come back 8:35. Actually 8:30. We got to visit on the Kings. They've played twice since we last talked to you. They're off till Wednesday. We'll talk about those wins and where they are next right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Are you familiar, Kyle, with the LeVar Ball rule?
No.
It's a thing now.
I'm sure I'm going to love it.
Oh, I think you will. So you've heard LeVar Ball recently saying things such as, quote, "They're soft. They don't know how to coach my son. I know how to coach him. Stop messing around." Well, the Lakers are reinforcing an existing policy, which basically existed but was never enforced. Family and friends and agents of players for the Lakers will generally wait in the seats behind the basket closest to the visiting team's locker room after game. So they'll wait for the players to go in, talk to the coach, shower, do media, and then come out. This is pretty standard at most arenas. But now, no longer will media be allowed to interview any of those said friends or family or agents in that section after the game. Also, no friends, family, or agents will be allowed to do interviews on the court, which is significant because, well, that's where LeVar Ball has been doing his interviews post-game. Hold on a second. I've got something coming across the wire. Let me get to it. Let's go to the KHTK news desk at 8:35. Kyle Madsen has breaking news.
NFL Network's Ian Rappaport is reporting that Ben McAdoo has been fired. That's per Ben McAdoo. At Rap Sheet on Twitter, Ben McAdoo tells me he's been fired.
Okay, you know what have been even, and we knew this was coming, right? You had to know this. This is something the New York Ben McAdoo is so bad that the New York Giants did something they basically don't ever do. They fired a head coach mid-season or in season. I am curious to see. Does it say anything there? Is Ian reporting anything on the status of Jerry Reese?
No.
Okay. Curious to see if that shoe is going to fall, drop, whatever, today as well. You know what would have been awesome, though, Kyle? Like, what would have been the total pimp daddy move would be for John Mara to come in and say, Ben, we're going to give assistant coach, I don't know any of their assistant coaches, Fred Doherty, we're going to give him a shot. We're going to give him a shot of being head coach this weekend. We're going to have you back him up. We're not firing you. We're just going to have you back him up. We want to see what some of these other coaches can do in anticipation of perhaps making a move next year. So you're going to take off one headset. You're going to put on the other headset. You're going to carry the other clipboard. And we're going to have offensive coordinator Yancey McThigpen come in, and he's going to coach this Sunday. That would have been the move. Take that, McAdoo. You, Maca, don't have a job anymore.
He's been the head coach before.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder if they sat down for the meeting and they said, what's this meeting about? And they said, oh, it's McAdoo about nothing.
You're an idiot. All right, Ben McAdoo's gone. He's gone. He should be. Oh, God. I don't even care about the Giants. I really don't. I don't care about the New York Giants. I just care about it's kind of like if I see, if I see two guys on the side of the street and one guy's beating the hell out of the other guy. I don't know them. I don't know them, but I just feel bad as a human for what's going on. I feel bad for Giants. Grant's a Giants fan. I like him. Grant's my guy. So I'm glad. I'm glad for them. I'm also glad for sports talk media in New York. They're finally going to have something to talk about today. The headline is going to be Geno Smith calling Rex Ryan a coward. That was going to be the big conversation today. That. Woo! Here's Ben McAdoo just minutes ago. You think that's how it happened? Ben McAdoo showed up at MetLife Stadium. He put his key card in. That's the sound it made. That's how he found out he got fired. He's trying to get in the front door.
It's like, why doesn't...
What is it?
Calls a friend.
Excuse me.
Calls a friend desk.
Hey, it's Ben. Excuse me. Hi, it's Ben in coaching. Because that's how he'd refer to himself. Ben in coaching. Hey, it's Ben in coaching. My key card doesn't work.
Hey, this is how he introduced himself to the front desk receptionist at the Giants headquarters.
All right, hold on. I'll answer the phone, okay?
Okay.
Ring, ring, ring. New York Giants football. How can I help you?
Yeah, hey, Daisy. This is New York Giants head coach Ben McAdoo.
Did you just assume my gender? This is Bill. This is Bill from Bill's
The demolition company went under after we couldn't blow up the Silver Dome.
So what does Ben say to Daisy?
This is New York Giants head coach. This is New York football Giants head coach Ben McAdoo.
This is Ben in coaching. My key card doesn't work. Well, Ben, did you try turning off the key card and then turning it back on again after waiting 15 seconds? Sometimes you need a hard reset. It's actually a card. Okay, I'll forward your request off to customer service. Why don't you try it one more time?
Might be because I ran my key card through the washer. I left it in my pants.
Did you leave your key card next to your cell phone? Because sometimes it'll demagnetize. That's always a good one with the hotel room keys. Was it within 60 feet of your cell phone? Well, yes. I keep it.
That's it.
That's it. It's demagnetized.
Did you use it to get in your room? Yeah. Sometimes demagnetizes it.
You're going to need to go down to Coach Services and show them your identification. They'll get you a new card. What do you think of your job status, Ben? Okay. Well, it does not work, Ben. You are fired.
Joe Mara calls him up. Yeah, hey, Ben, can you walk outside for me real quick? All right, now try and use your key card to get back in.
Whoops.
you got it. Yeah, just drop it in the mail slot.
Gathered all the coaching staff into his room, John Mara did. And he said, okay, everybody up against the wall. Everybody who's coaching this weekend, take 3 steps forward. Not so fast, Ben McAdoo. Ben McAdoo, the next head coach at Florida State University. That's what's going to happen because God hates me.
Yeah, Ben, hey, John Mara here. Can you do me one favor real quick? I don't want to have to deal with the press. Can you text Ian Rappaport and let him know that you've been fired?
What's on tap is next right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Bengals, Steelers, will Vontaze Burfict get thrown out of the game or permanently injure somebody? Who knows? I want to get we have a Giants expert. I want to.
You're calling Ben McAdoo?
I am. No, I'm calling calling a guy I know loves the Giants more than anyone. See what he thinks. I have a feeling it's a happy day.
New York Giants, how we may direct your call.
we just did a bit wondering if Ben McAdoo said he coached until his key card didn't work, so we're wondering. We know John Mayer is a classy guy, but maybe Ben McAdoo was rolling up to MetLife Stadium and swiped his card and didn't work, and he had to call customer service or something.
Maybe he did. I'm not surprised at all by today's news. I went on the air last Wednesday, and I said that Ben McAdoo would not coach after the Raiders game, that there was no way in the world that he could walk onto the field at MetLife Stadium for the Giants-Cowboys game. I said last Wednesday that he would need a police escort to get from the parking lot into the stadium, and I said that there would be 50 to 60,000 no-shows and the Giants fans would be up in arms. Well, as you heard the news, Giants fans were planning on protesting. They were planning on all going and tailgating and then no one going into the game and nobody reselling their tickets. It would have been the worst, most ugly, embarrassing situation for this franchise since they began in 1925. And so they had no choice but to fire Coach McAdoo and Jerry Reese. Now, it should have been done a couple of weeks ago, but better late than never. And I don't like to see people lose their jobs. I really don't. But in this case, Ben McAdoo had to go. He also has 2 years left on his deal, so don't feel sorry for him. He'll get another job in the NFL as an offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach. He'll be just fine. But there's no way the Giants could have allowed him to walk onto the field Sunday for the Cowboys game.
Grant, I couldn't agree more, and I don't think it's a hot take, that Ben McAdoo should have been fired. If Ben McAdoo doesn't make the Eli Manning move, does he finish the year?
He finishes the year, yes, because if he doesn't make the Eli Manning move, the fans would not have been in an uproar. The fans have already, you know, they've accepted the fact that this is a disastrous season and that even firing a coach in the middle of the season is not going to make a bit of difference. So, yes, he would have finished the year, no question. There's no way the Maras, who've only fired one coach in the history of the franchise in the middle of the year, would have fired Coach McAdoo had they not made this move.
And if and you'd know better than I, but I remember reading that stat about firing coaches midseason, how this is all but unprecedented. I believe they've never fired a GM midseason. Does Jerry Reese make it past, let's say, the day after the season ends?
No, Jerry Reese had no chance of making it after this year when he botched the offensive line, which really has been the exhibit A for the Giants' problems this year. And Jerry Reese ignored that in the offseason. You know, he went out and drafted a wide receiver, tight end, Evan Ingram. He went out and drafted, you know, defense. He went out and drafted this and that. He ignored the offensive line, and that was the root of the problem for the Giants. So, you know, Jerry Reese did some real good things with the Giants, but lately he has not. And so, you know, now, and here's the other deal. You know, if you're going to fire Jerry Reese, you have to do it before you hire a coach. So now the Giants will go hire a general manager and a coach. They'll be in sync. They'll be in tandem. And then they can start fresh.
Oh, hey, by the way, Voice of the Kings, and you can hear him afternoons right here on KHDK with Douglas Christie, 3 to 7 p.m. Grant Napier with us. You're back home, aren't you, buddy?
I am back home, and then I'm leaving tomorrow morning at, I think I have a 7:30 flight to go to beautiful Cleveland, one of my favorite places on the earth.
Hey, beats what I got to go to New York tomorrow.
Well, hey, let me, if you want to switch places, you just holler, okay?
Grant, you ever been to New York?
You know what? I have been there. I'm trying to recollect, you know, when it was, but I have been there.
Yeah, I'm. My wife is currently studying the subways because she wants to go to a bunch of museums. I couldn't give a you know what about while we're.
No, don't go to the museums. You know what? Yeah. Just stay. Tell her that you're not feeling well and stay in the hotel. Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't even know where to start. You know.
Well, I'd start with this since we got you. Anyways, I told you I just want to talk to you about the Giants. But hey, listen, am I crazy for thinking the Kings go 1-1. They beat the Bulls, who are not good. I thought they showed a lot of heart against the Bucks. And I know we're not in the position of doing moral victories and all that, but I wasn't that mad at that Bucks loss.
No, for this team, it is a moral victory because this team now, I mean, again, we're taking baby steps here, but what's the biggest knock on the Kings this year is how they have had lack of competitiveness on the road for most of their games. And now you've seen the Warriors game, which was an A+. Then you see the Bulls game, wasn't an A+, but they competed and they beat a bad team. And then the Bucks, a good team, had just gone 3-1 on the West Coast trip. They're down 14-0 before they even were able to lace up their sneakers. And then they fight back and they had a chance to, you know, tie the game on their last critical possession. So, yeah, I take a lot of positives from that. And, you know, again, it's about getting better week to week. It's about competing. There's been too many games this year where we haven't seen the team, for lack of a better term, compete. There have been the Washington game at home or the Milwaukee game at home. And then, you know, the Knicks game on the road, the Atlanta game on the road, the Indiana game on the road. You know, again, no one's expecting the Kings to win these games. But like we saw against Milwaukee, be in the game when the fourth quarter starts. That's really what they need to be on a more consistent basis when they're on the road. And I think they really got over a big hurdle last week.
I think I saw a stat, and I may be off by one game here, but I think I saw a stat through, 23 games. They have the exact same record they did last year. They're one game behind where they were the year before. So big picture, I mean, just kind of to simplify it, those 2 years they had arguably a top 15 player in the NBA in DeMarcus Cousins. They're in full rebuild mode now, and I don't know if too many people would have thought you take DeMarcus Cousins off this team and throw in a bunch of 19-year-olds and a couple of 40-year-olds, that they'd still be sitting same record. So that has to be a little bit of a positive.
Well, you're talking to one that did, and I went on the air and said that would happen every day.
You did.
So I've been saying that for years. You know, I'm not picking on DeMarcus. I'm just saying I'd rather lose without DeMarcus Cousins than lose with him and hit the reset button and build for the future. Now, the only way this works is if Vlade drafts well. Okay, and we still, I mean, say what you want about this year's draft. We really, truly won't know for two more seasons, okay? And then this coming June, they have to have another good draft. And again, we won't know immediately. We're going to have to wait for a little bit. But all you got to do is look at the Warriors and how they changed their team around. They did it via the draft. They didn't do it through free agency. They did it via the draft. And then they did add an Andre Iguodala through free agency, and that really helped. But the point is, this will only work if the Kings draft well. And as we sit here today on December 4th, I like what they've done in the draft, but that could change. It could get better. It could not, you know. So we just have to wait. But they weren't winning with DeMarcus, and that's just fine. You know, they tried it for 6+ years, and they decided to go in a different direction. And I do think it's interesting that they are exactly where they were 2 years ago and exactly where they were last year record-wise. And so, again, this is you. I hear you say it every day. This is not happening overnight. This is not an easy fix. And I know fans are tired of hearing that. And I get the fans' plight. I get the fact that they're frustrated. I get the fact that they're impatient. But we're speaking the way it is. We're speaking in realistic terms. And that's just what is going on, and fans have to understand that.
Grant Napier with us. Grant, while we're on the phone, breaking news, Jerry Reese has just been fired.
Yep. Yes. Wow. Oh, I thought you would I thought you knew that. They basically fired both at the same time.
I didn't know that. Yes. No, I just during the break saw the McAdoo thing. I didn't see the Jerry Reese thing. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and again, it had to happen. There's no reason to leave Jerry hanging for 4 weeks knowing that he was going to be gone anyway. So
right.
And I also think that John Mara is culpable in the way this whole thing was handled last week. And so, you know, you can't ignore that. The Maras are one of the great founding fathers in the NFL, Wellington, and, you know, they're like the Rooneys. But he botched this week, and he needs to step to the podium today and let the fans know that, you know, he botched this as well.
That's Grant Napier. You can hear him. Well, wait, are you on? I'm sorry. Are you on 3 to 7 today?
I'm on today, 3 to 7. Okay. And then tomorrow I'm on from beautiful Cleveland, Ohio, from 3 to 7 as well.
Look at that. KHK all spread out. So the midday's doing their thing in Sacramento. You're in beautiful Cleveland. I'm in dumpy New York City. So we're all good.
We're big time, man. We are big time. And again, if you need some help when you're in New York, you know where to find me.
You know, I need help regardless of where I am. So, I'll be shooting a phone call to you, buddy. Oh, hey.
And do not go to the museums. They're so boring.
By the way, our text line is out today, so I downloaded an app on my phone, and I got us our very own text line. It's an actual phone number. I can run you through that app this afternoon if you want to take texts.
You know what? Please do. I would love that. That would be great. Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll hear you at 3 o'clock.
Thanks, Grant.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. That is Grant Napier. I didn't see the that makes sense. I didn't see the Jerry Reese thing. So there you go. That's just unprecedented for the Giants. They got to do it. Grant's going to Cleveland. He's so stoked. He is pumped.
Anytime you can go to Cleveland,
he's a huge fan.
Do it.
Cleveland, Milwaukee, Memphis. Those are the three big spots for Grant. He loves and Boston. Loves Boston.
At least Eric Hasseltine's in Memphis.
That's a good point right there. 669-225-2062. That's the text number. Use it all day long. It's coming right to my phone and my watch. We'll respond. For Kyle Madsen, I'm Carmichael Dave.
Just all day.
Just all day I'm going to be responding to texts. Coming right to. I wish I could get the old text line to come to my wrist. Are you kidding me? I'd be responding to Damien's texts, Jason's, Grant's. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m., bright and early. Jim Rosenzweig. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on Sports 1140 KHCK.